I'm Christine Dean, and this is live from Studio A, and we're very happy to welcome back to our studios a guy from Winona, Minnesota, Mike Munson. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. Great to have you back. I think it's been about 4 years since we had you in, so we should have plenty to catch up on.
Yeah, I think so.
And you are going to be really busy the next few days. You have shows in the area. You're playing at Montelac for Turns and Tunes tonight from 7 to 9, did you say?
Correct, yep.
And then tomorrow night you're at Castle Danger Brewery. And then on Saturday, you are at Sir Ben. So
you got it.
Lots of opportunities to catch up with Mike while he's in the area. Well, I'm going to have you get started with the tune. You have a new album out called Rose Hill, and we're going to be talking about that. But what do you want to get started with here?
I'm going to play a song from that called Good as Good May Be. Caught up in smoke, it's hardly a joke. Better get someone fast. Out on the run, you got your guns, and this used to be so fun. They always gave chase, and we always laid waste to the night setting sun. We're not giving up, your eyes look so tough, and this is my last. So long, my friend. So long, my friend. Throw down the lever, do something clever, cause this never lets up. Over and under, and our plans lay asunder, and we'll shoot out the moon. Wait for the sun, if they see that you're scared, well, we're sure who's dead here, so you better look tough. And my head's hot from thinking, you know, my heart is left sinking, and I'd rather give up. So long, my friend. So long, my friend. Toss that out the window, it's slowing us down. You know I glared through the haze, suggest we quit running around, always running from goals. Only things that you see, I'm giving up, they can catch me. As good, maybe, maybe, maybe. As good, maybe, maybe, maybe. As good, maybe, maybe. As good, maybe. Caught up in smoke, it's hard to joke. Better get someone fast. Out on the run, take out your guns, and this used to be so fun.
That is Mike Munson live from Studio A in a tune from Rose Hill, right?
correct.
Yeah.
Nice. So before we talk about the album, we have a very important thing to talk about, which is your guitar. I was admiring your guitar before the session. It's a National Resonator, and it's beautiful, as those often are. But it's especially beautiful. It has these palm tree designs on it, and you were talking about that. We were talking about that before the session, and that's a common, or it's something that goes back a long time, those palm tree designs.
Yeah. It goes back quite a long ways, and it's something that was, I don't know, something that I usually kind of roll my eyes at, but it's just marketing. And they put palm trees on them to market them to people who wanted to play Hawaiian music, which at one point was all the rage. Maybe it'll come back around. But, yeah, so it's covered in these beautiful palm trees and setting sun, and it's a gorgeous, yeah, it's called a stylo instrument, which means it's the real shiny kind. They're not all real shiny, but this one particular one is that real shiny kind of silver.
And you said that that kind of craze for the Hawaiian stuff started in the 30s. And so is this something that, and there were volcanoes and mm-hmm. other kinds
yeah,
of?
Yeah, volcanoes and surfer girls, and they were getting all sorts of creative juices going.
So is this something that had some continuity, or did they suddenly bring it back for retro purposes?
Yeah, so this instrument itself does not go back that far. I think this was made in the mid-90s when National Resophonic kind of resurrected and relocated in California. But they brought back all those old guitars and shapes and styles of guitars that National really got to be known for.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, the guitar also sounds good, which I suppose is the most important part. But if you have the chance to catch Mike at one of these upcoming shows, check out the guitar. You won't be able to help yourself, really, because it's so beautiful. Well, so great to have you back. Like I said, it's been a while, and you've had some adventures since you were last here. Your new album was recorded down in Mississippi, right?
Yeah, correct. In a small town called Bentonia, Mississippi, at the Blue Front Cafe, which is the oldest and longest continually running juke joint in the country, but especially in Mississippi, yeah.
And this all came about because you met Jimmy Duck Holmes, who actually was up here in Minnesota a few years mm-hmm. back. He actually stopped by our studios because mm-hmm. he did a show in Duluth, and it must have been around the same time that you got the chance to meet him. So tell me about that.
Yeah, well, I first met him a couple years before that. I was driving home from a friend's wedding in Louisiana and wanted to stop in Bentonia because it was the hometown of another player who I really admire named Skip James, who died years and years and years ago. So I wanted to go see where Skip James came from, and there's the Blue Front Cafe, and I walk up to it, and I meet a guy who I didn't know was Jimmy Duck Holmes, but was, who reaches out his hand and says, "I'm the one you're looking for." And then, so we chatted for just a short amount of time, and then I headed home, and then it was 3 years after that, a friend of mine from up here in Duluth said, "We're working to bring Jimmy Duck Holmes up here. Do you think we can get him a show in Winona, and would you want to play some other places?" And I said, "Absolutely." So then we met in earnest in Winona on that trip that brought him up here,
nice.
Which, you know, now 7 years after initially meeting him and he said, "I'm the one you're looking for," he's become a big part of my, you know, kind of steering my life a little bit this past year, at least with this Rose Hill recording and, mm-hmm. and everything that surrounds that.
So tell me about, I think there are some other musicians from down in that area that have been an influence on you. Tell me about the music from that area and some of the artists that you've enjoyed
definitely.
And learned from.
So Bentonia's style blues came about, well, originated from a gentleman named Henry Stuckey, who essentially started tuning his guitar differently. But Bentonia itself is an isolated town. So the stylistic elements that were influencing Delta blues and electric blues coming out of Memphis didn't really hit Bentonia. And so they started tuning their guitars differently and singing different songs, spookier songs about the devil, not so much like selling your soul to the devil like Delta songs are, but just like spookier songs of the devil meddling in daily life. And so these stories compared with tuning your guitar to a minor tuning just kind of concentrated the spookiness of the Bentonia blues, and people like Jack Owens and Skip James and Jimmy Duck Holmes had all came up through that, and so that's, I fell in with Jimmy and then really started getting lost in Bentonia mm-hmm. blues and trying to figure out how that maybe meets up with music I do in Winona. And
did he know some of those people?
Yeah. Jimmy definitely knew Jack Owens very well, and grew up listening to him play and seeing him play and playing with him. And then Bud Spires, our harmonica player, really fantastic harmonica player, Jimmy played and hung out with him, and mostly would see Jack and Bud Spires play together in the Blue Front Cafe, which his parents ran, you know. And then so then to put myself playing with Jimmy in the Blue Front Cafe is just kind of mind bending a little bit, you know, playing one of Jack Owens' songs with Jimmy is just kind of wild.
Yeah. Oh, how cool. Which is on the album, right?
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. A song in particular called Jack Ain't Had No Water. Jimmy played harmonica with me, which is funny. I've known Jimmy for a while and I've never seen him play harmonica until we were recording, and he's like, I'll play harmonica on this one, and he just pulls it out and it's just fantastic.
Well, that's pretty cool. I think the album is mostly originals, is that right?
It is. I do a handful of nods to Bentonia music, Illinois Blues by Skip James, and then Jack Ain't Had No Water, and then threw in a Booker White song just because I really love it. But the rest are kind of what Jimmy calls my Minnesota blues.
I hope he means that as a compliment.
He does. He does.
I find that so interesting, like that you kind of, you know, when somebody is so drawn to something that's outside of the culture that they were born into, and I don't know, you know, it seems inexplicable where that comes from. Like, do you have any feeling about where that pull that you have towards that kind of music and that kind of culture comes from? Or is it just, that's just something that draws you in?
I think the short answer is no. I mean, I think it's just something that more or less would say picked me. And I'm just have a just fascination and obsession with American music in general. And all that just leads directly to blues, and for me, Bentonia blues, I feel like, is just really at the root of all that, you know, without ignoring gospel and jazz and country and all that sort of stuff. But blues, I think, is what really picked me out of all that.
And one of the last times you were here, we were talking about, you know, the difference between playing electric, playing acoustic, and do you do mostly acoustic on the new one, or?
I play more acoustic than I had on any previous recording, which was really exciting for me. Though out playing shows, I tend to play electric more, just because there's so many variables that exist trying to play an acoustic instrument as loud as possible, you know, which really isn't what the instrument was necessarily meant for. And I just, quite frankly, really like playing electric guitar a lot. So I tend to play that out more often, but doing things like house concerts or smaller, quieter venues, I really like to bring my national guitar and play that for sure.
And tell me about some of the other songs on the album, your batch of songs that you brought to the project. Did you have everything ready to go before you went down to Mississippi? Or
I would have liked to. That was kind of my plan, to have everything ready to go and well-practiced and played out a bunch, but just the way that I am and life is, I wasn't as well prepared as I wanted to be, but I think that the end result was better. It's a little I don't want to say fresh, but a little more, I don't know, I had to be more on top of playing, because I couldn't go into like autopilot mode with the songs, because I hadn't played them all that much and was still like trying new things with them, and I think that added some excitement. And in the spirit of the Blue Front and recording down there, wasn't any overdubs, and you just set up microphones and play, but people stop into the Blue Front every day, all day, because it's a bit of an attraction, not to mention a really integral piece of the town of Bentonia. People stop in there to catch the news and see who's around and whatever. So all those sounds made it onto the record as well, and the train tracks right across the street and all that's just how it sounds hanging out there. And so it would have felt weird to show up immensely prepared and like trying to shoehorn my rigid, this is how I did the, you know, like to try to shoehorn that into that, scene down there. 'Cause that's not how daily life is in Bentonia. You know, it's loose and you just roll with it. And, that was a helpful reminder for me, for sure.
It sounds kind of refreshing.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. I can't wait to get back.
How much time did you get to spend down there making the album?
This we did relatively quickly over 2 days. But over the past handful of years, I've been going about twice a year. I go back in June for their big Bentonia Blues Festival. And I've been playing that for a couple of years now, and just hanging out and just having the time of my life, which is really great. But lately I've really fallen in love with going there in during Minnesota winter. And it's just a much quieter, you know, a rural American town, especially, you know, a rural southern town, outside of tourist season. I mean, I think a lot of people who live in even northern Minnesota can relate to what that's, you know. It's a bit of a different town when there's not a bunch of out-of-towners there. So to hang out in those off-season times is really special, too.
Nice. Well, let's hear another tune. What do you want to play next?
I think I am going to do Jack Ain't Had No Water, that song by Jack Owens. It requires tuning my guitar to that minor tuning.
That is Meg Munson live from Studio A, another one from his Rose Hill album, which I think, tell me what Rose Hill is. It's something in Bentonia, right?
Yeah, there's a Rose Hill Road a little bit outside of town. It's a big, long gravel road. Not big, pretty narrow, actually. Gravel road, and Jack Owens used to live at the end of that. So,
oh, nice.
I've taken a handful of walks out there when I go down, and it's... gorgeous little walk, and yeah, just to get to Jack's old house and his pasture where he used to keep his cows is just kind of a nice meditation heading down that way.
Wow, how cool. So one of the last times you were here, one thing that we were talking about is, you know, you're a guitar guy, and that's kind of your main thing. Mm-hmm. And you described yourself as a reluctant singer. So I'm wondering, you sound fine. I'm wondering how that's come along through the years and as far as your comfort level. And
yeah. Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. I think I still definitely refer to myself as a reluctant singer. That said, I think it's good for everyone to do. I mean, I think that there's health studies and people involved with the spiritual world talk about how important it is to sing and inside and out and metaphysically and all that sort of stuff. I'm happy that I've been able to just do it, whether or not I'm necessarily happy about doing it or think it's good. Though I've definitely gotten more comfortable with it, and rather recently, I guess I can listen to recordings of myself and not bristle as much as I used to. But still, that said, it'd be nice to get some formal training at some point. I don't know what that would entail. Mm-hmm. I think that's a mystery. I mean, I've come to the realization that, like, wow, like practicing an instrument will get me results, essentially, you know, and like you get what you put into it. And I've spent a lot of time thinking about and playing guitar, but I haven't spent hardly any time thinking about my voice and how to treat it better, or how mm-hmm. to work with it better. So that is definitely something that is out there sitting around, but it's not something I've necessarily pursued.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is, you said treat it better. That is a good point. Is one hazard of being untrained is that you might hurt your voice, you know, by not singing correctly. Mm-hmm. So that might be something that is beneficial to you to figure out. With the guitar, did you ever have formal training? Or was that mostly stuff that you did on your own?
As far as like going after blues and other folk styles, I have not had formal training. Though I have spent time trying to figure jazz out, and that was kind of one that was always like the big, like if I was going to study something, I felt like that's what it needed to be. Because that's kind of the biggest conundrum for me and had been. So when I was in high school, I was taking lessons at the West Bank School of Music in the West Bank in Minneapolis, and was working with some great instructors there. And that was kind of really great. That was more mental, I would say, exercise. It's not necessarily lending itself to playing Bentonia blues like I am now, but definitely adds to my understanding of the instrument and how to interact with it. And I think apart from that, you know, formal study can be just about anything. You know, I sit down with Jimmy every time I go to Bentonia, you know, and he's not handing me a book or anything like that, but I'm definitely learning a lot from mm-hmm. That student-teacher relationship that I found recently in him has been very special, and I'm honored to be in that position and to travel with him. And when we play together, it's always really great. But I feel like he always waits till when I'm not paying attention to. I mean, like any true good like teacher would do, they'd wait till you're not really there, and then drop the little big nuggets of truth and make sure that you come back. You know, you pay attention all the time because you never know what you might miss. So he does some of that to me.
Can you specifically think of any of those nuggets that he's dropped on you?
Well, one big one in particular, he listened to me play at some point, and afterwards he came up to me and he puts his finger right on my chest and he goes, "It was good. You could play a lot of notes, but you're not feeling it." And he just like got right in. It's like you got to feel it. You know, it's serious stuff. I mean, he's essentially the caretaker of a history's worth of songs, and is kind of the last one playing it. And it's he's trying to impart some of that stuff on me, and he wants to be sure that I'm taking it seriously. And like that was that moment where I was like, oh, I really gotta be a little bit more intense about, you know, calling these songs up and playing them, and you know, and not just like slam them out with a lot of fast finger work, but to like try to get to that place with it. So that was a big one. Yeah.
Oh, great. Well, we have time for one more. What do you want to wrap up with here?
I'm going to play a song called Sinner, which is, yeah, big Minnesota blues.
The devil always been a sinner, and how that's crooked, I wish I could make straighter.
That is Mike Munson live from Studio A. Well, thanks so much for coming in, Mike.
Thank you. Thanks for running around the coolest stations in the state.
Hey, no problem. So it looks like, I'm, you know, looking at the events on your Facebook and website and such, it looks like you're still showing up in at Ed's No Name Bar every once in a while.
Yep. That's, yep, exactly.
Down there in Winona, which I've never been there, but I need to get there someday. I've heard so much about it.
It's a great spot.
Yeah. So, and it looks like you're doing a bunch of other shows as well, regionally and...
Yeah, kind of all over. I know I have something at the Hook and Ladder in Minneapolis coming up the end of the month, I think the 28th. And then January head out kind of East Chicago, Michigan, and Cleveland, Ohio, and back home, and then down to Mississippi again in February.
Nice. And you have several shows here in the local area. You're playing at Montelac Ski Resort tonight from 7 to 9 for their Tunes and Turns. Turns and Tunes? One of those things. And Castle Danger Brewery tomorrow at 7, I believe. And then mm-hmm. on Saturday, you're playing Sir Ben's, and I think that one starts mm-hmm. at 9. I have all that right?
You got it.
All right.
So right.
Well, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to
thank
have you back.
Thank you. I appreciate the invite.
Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from John Hino and Emma Gilhausen, with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.